Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you know us. We are the people dashboard company for small and medium companies. That's right. We know you have those lean, overworked, super busy HR teams that are always trying to figure out when are you going to have time for HR reporting. We know your CEO and people in your C-suite and investors and advisors are constantly asking you, what is your engagement look like? What is your turnover rates look like? What is your diversity metrics, headcount, promotion velocity, blah, 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 blah. And it takes you way too long to pull that data. Well, it shouldn't have to, and no longer will it, because we created Employee Cycle for you, which is a people dashboard with pre-connected API connectors to all the best systems that you use. Systems like Namely, Greenhouse, Zenefits, ADP, Bamboo, HR, Sapling, 15.5, Office 5, Glassdoor, etc. All you have to do is go to employeecycle.com to see how you can plug in all your systems into the dashboard so you can view, track, share, and analyze all your HR metrics from one place. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Danny Kim, Director of People and Culture at Raindrop. And today we're going to discuss why you might reevaluate your culture during a crisis. Danny, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Reevaluate. That's a tongue twister today.
It is.
Couldn't get it. So Danny, thanks so much for coming to the show. And today is going to be no different than the other shows, because the way we're going to start off is the same question that we always ask. And do you know what that question is?
I don't, actually.
That question is, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Great question. How much time we got? No, I'm just kidding. I'll give you the quick story. I didn't know I wanted to be in HR. I didn't know that was a field that I could enter into. When I started my undergraduate studies, I thought I want to be a doctor, so I studied biology. But what I was fascinated by was psychology and communication. That's what I really should have studied. And after graduating, I really fell in love with leadership development. I started doing some training and coaching around the Clifton Strengths Finder, and found my way through coaching and consulting some different organizations. And fast forward, before I came to Raindrop, I worked for a consulting agency, doing organizational development and leadership, and finished my PhD in industrial organizational psychology just a few months ago, actually. So it has been a wild journey to get to where I am, but I love HR. I love everything people-oriented. I love elevating humanity in the workplace. So that's the long and short of it.
Elevating humanity in the workplace. That sounds pretty magical. I like that.
I like that.
So before we get started, could you give us a quick background summary on Raindrop? Where are you based? How many employees do you have? What does your company do?
Sure. So Raindrop Agency is based in Little Italy, San Diego. We are right near the airport, if you've ever been to San Diego, just kind of in the flight path of when you're entering into San Diego. And we do branding and advertising. We were founded about 10 years ago. And the name Raindrop comes from a C.S. Lewis quote, which basically says, friendship is like two raindrops that come seamlessly together on a windowsill. And so the idea of Raindrop and the premise of it is that we are friendship builders, not only with our clients, but with one another. And in the last 4 years, I would say, is when we've experienced a lot of hockey stick growth, everything from people and then also clients as well. We are about 45 people at this moment, and quickly figuring out how to scale that, and quickly figuring out how to create sustainable systems to recruit and attract great talent and retain as well. We do branding advertising across the board. So whether that's logo development, website development, to content development and web design, email marketing. But I think the biggest thing I would say that's put us on the map is we create what we call edutainment videos that are YouTube ads on YouTube. So our biggest name is Dr. Squatch, and it's gotten over 100 million views on YouTube. And basically, they're funny, but educational, and people like to buy the product. So we help businesses scale, basically.
Nice. Nice. Very cool. So I really like this topic that we're discussing today, and I'm going to get it right this time, which is why you might reevaluate your culture during a crisis. This is really interesting because a lot of the other HR leaders that I've been interviewing have really spoke about doubling down on their existing culture, existing vision, mission, and values to help their workforce navigate through all of the challenges of 2020, really using whatever they have as a North Star to get everybody to band together on one accord and move forward. But this is interesting because you're thinking about reevaluating it to see if you're on the right course and to really pick apart what you have to see what you can make better. So I'm curious why that was your take and what does that look like?
That's a great question. So I think it's important to, in moments of crisis, to step back before you step forward. And I think what happens as human beings is we often go into flight, fight, or freeze mode in crisis. And what that means is we actually tighten the grip on what we've known to be true about our organization. Now, some of those things that we hold on to are very important, like we're not going to become a restaurant next month. You know, we're going to continue to do branding and advertising, or we're going to continue to serve our clients at the highest caliber. But what I think is an important moment in crisis is when we consider what are the things that we really believe in and what's true of our organization in this moment. And how might we reevaluate what has and hasn't been working? It's actually an opportunity for leaders to consider, what are some of the, quote, sacred cows, so to speak, in our organization? And are they healthy? And do they actually help us develop and cultivate a culture worth creating? So, for example, let me give an example. One of the things that we've done in this process of COVID, so unfortunately, we lost a lot of business at the very beginning of COVID, and luckily we've grown back, but we had to temporarily furlough about 50% of our employees. And then what happened was we got to bring them right back as soon as business started coming back. But in that process, one of the things that we've done, and we're finally at a place where we're starting to go external and start looking outside our kind of current roster of employees to go find new talent, we are kind of reevaluating our hiring process. One, we've had to because it's all virtual now. But two, it's a great opportunity for us to kind of step back and say, how are we creating, for example, more equitable opportunities? You know, for a long time, we had in our job description, you need a bachelor's of psychology in a lot of our job descriptions. But in this moment, we're saying, how do we actually put a DE&I lens and say, let's reevaluate this. Let's stop and pause and say, what do we actually mean by our hiring process? And how do we create more equitable systems? So that's one example of ways in which we're pausing and stopping in order to reevaluate our processes.
And when it comes to looking into what you're currently doing and figuring out which areas might be in need of improvement, are you looking across the entire employee lifecycle? Or are you picking a few that you believe have maybe slipped through the cracks over the past few months or year or something that you already had your eye on, and that's what you're choosing to focus on?
That's a great question. I think, I'm not sure if other HR professionals experience or feel this way, but I almost feel like sometimes there's so much to do that it can become paralyzing. And there's such massive undertakings that sometimes it's hard to just take one step forward. And so one of the things that I have done is I am looking at the entire life cycle. So I just talked about hiring and recruiting, but at the same time, simultaneously, I'm looking at our growth plan and performance evaluation system. How do people get raises? And, you know, being a young startup, basically, we have had a system that's worked for several years, but we haven't systematized that. We haven't created a process by which people know exactly what they can expect from a performance evaluation standpoint. So I am actually simultaneously building that out. So that's about retention. That's about growth. That's about developing our people. And so I would say when COVID kind of hit, we obviously had to do, you know, put out a lot of fires. We had to create a lot of healthy systems. We were basically just trying to figure out as we go. But as we turn the corner and as we've stabilized, one of the things we're thinking about is how do we create sustainable systems and what are our priorities? So I've created a top 5, top 10 priorities from now till the end of 2020, and then saying in 2021, we'll have to reevaluate. But that's what I would say. And, you know, we have smaller systems compared to a lot of other organizations, but they still take a lot of change management and a lot of effort to ensure that everyone's on board and it's clear on what the expectations are.
So just to be clear, when you're talking about reevaluating your culture, you're not necessarily only talking about culture from the perspective of how people believe the company interacts internally or externally, or how you communicate or how you behave, but you're also talking about the culture of the organization from a process standpoint as well.
That's right. I think they work hand in hand. I think leaders recognize that culture is more than just free food and a foosball table. I think culture is more than just how you feel, whether you feel liked and appreciated, although that's a very important part of culture. Culture, in my opinion, the way I would define it is that part of it is the unspoken rules and behaviors of an organization. So how people act, not just what they say. And so at a meta level, culture is the expressed feelings and thoughts and behaviors of an organization. But to your point, policies and processes actually support culture. The way I like to describe it is that I like to say that policies and procedures and HR manuals and handbooks are kind of like scaffolding on a building. Scaffolding is temporary. They're the platforms, they're the foundation, they're the structures that kind of help you build the culture, if that makes sense. Now, sometimes you need the scaffolding on there for a long time, and then the processes become embedded within the building. But the scaffolding is what supports culture. So if you don't have healthy scaffolding, if you don't have good platforms by which to build your building, the building will fall apart. It won't be sufficient to withstand some of the crises that we've been experiencing.
So pre-COVID, how would you define your culture? What did that look like?
Sure. I would say that pre-COVID, we were a budding agency that was Raindrop and people first. What I mean by that is we kind of had a culture where we were together. I think proximity was an important piece. I would often say in an onboarding conversation with a new employee, hey, we value culture and we value a Raindrop first. And so we want you to be here. That's our unspoken rule, so to speak, right? We had office hours and basically that's where you were. And we believe that part of being together was collaboration and the joy of being together. Now, when COVID hit, all of that changed, right? We went remote completely. We have not been together in the office for 5 months. And yet our culture still remains that value of friendship and connectedness still matters to us, but it looks very different, right? There are a bunch of Zoom calls and Slack messages and Asana tasks. But the culture in that sense has reoriented and shifted. I think the essence has still remained the same, but how it manifests itself and how we can experience culture is unique in that sense. But pre-COVID, we were definitely trying to be together. That was, I think, we were creating together. And I think that was a value of ours. Now that's changed a little bit in these days, obviously.
As you were describing the culture, one of the things that popped into my head is if you asked, you said you have roughly 45 employees. So if you asked the other 44 employees to describe the culture, I'm curious, how closely do you think they would say the same thing that you said? And for you to have a strong culture, do you believe that everyone needs to be able to verbalize and communicate the culture using the exact same words or the saying? How fluid is that? Because I'm curious. I know in other places, if you were to ask 10 investors a question about a business that they're looking to invest in, you're going to get 10 totally. You might get 15 answers because half of the investors are going to give you two answers. So I'm curious, how similar does that need to be? And is that an indicator of how strong your culture is?
That's great. That's a great question. I think that there are some non-negotiables, in my opinion, that people need to resonate with. Whether they would use the same words or not, I would say is up to them. But I think that at the core, they need to be bought in and they need to be kind of stewards of that culture. So let me explain a couple things. So there's the non-written culture of friendship. Like, it's not considered a value, but we do value friendship, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like one of our values written on the wall, but friendship, I would say, is a key indicator. So, for example, we often say that we want to treat our clients and our employees, our coworkers, as if you were to treat a best friend. Now, doesn't mean you have to be best friends with everybody, but there is a level of respect and generosity that you can have if you treat someone like a best friend, right? And so that's kind of the unspoken rule, I would say, that we see exhibiting there. And I would actually say that I hope that most people would be willing to be like, I'd love to grab a cup of coffee with anybody in this room. You know, I think that's been, and I would say that's true in most circumstances. The other thing that I would say is we have three values: create strategically, partner generously, and own your future. So those are three actually written values. And I think the partner generously is one that I feel like has been pre-COVID and post-COVID that will continue to remain a part of our DNA. And I would actually say that that is a true indicator of who we are in this moment. And I think that's served us extremely well. So that's a written value that I would say, and I hope that people would articulate and resonate with, partnering generously. And that has so many nuanced ways of thinking about it, but that's with your clients, that's with each other, that's with your leaders, that's with your employees and talent that comes on set to subcontractors. I think partner generously has become kind of a non-negotiable for us in our agency.
And to end this interview on an actionable note, for anyone who is listening and they really resonate with everything that you're saying, but they're not quite sure where to start in this process of reevaluating their culture to see what needs to change, what needs to be optimized, what should be updated, where would you point them to start and how should they think about this process? Because you know, anytime you start a new effort, you can get lost in the weeds and you end up with no outcome. So from the beginning, where should they start? And then from an outcome perspective, what should they be looking for when they're done?
Yeah, I think that changing policies and procedures, structures, and ultimately your culture is ultimately about change management. It's about changing people's mindset. And to that end, I would say be very intentional about who needs to be in the room as you start making these changes. Who are the kinds of people you should be thinking about that need to be decision makers and key stakeholders? And I would say, what is the business outcome for all of this? Don't divorce it from how it serves the business, if that makes sense. So if I were a people leader or someone in HR that's trying to create an initiative or a change, perhaps you take a look and you say, oh, I resonate with Danny and I think we should redo our hiring process and recruitment, or oh, we should take a look at our, you know, how we give people bonuses or salaries, or oh, we should think about manager training and what that looks like. I would first say, one, identify what that is, but two, more importantly, figure out who needs to be in the room to help make those decisions. What are the kinds of meetings that you're going to have and what are the objectives of those meetings? And be ready to be met with resistance because change is hard for everyone. And so be ready, be calm, and take a couple deep breaths and sometimes step away when you need to, because it can become so personal and deeply embedded that I'm in that right now where I have to step back and say, it's not about me. You know, like, remember why I'm doing this. Remember the people that I'm trying to impact with this process or policy, and be willing to kind of forge through the challenges of change, because it's not it's not a snap of a finger, especially as your organization grows. There's going to be a lot of different opinions. So I would say, think about who needs to be in the room to help you make those decisions.
Got it. Danny, that was awesome. Really appreciate you dropping all these gems of wisdom on our audience. This was awesome. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Woo! Danny, appreciate you.
So where can people find you and Raindrop online?
Great. So people can find Raindrop at raindropmarketing.com. I am active on LinkedIn as well. So Danny Kim, find me there, Raindrop, and would love to connect. If people have questions, I'm happy to be a resource. I love all things people and culture. I love elevating humanity, like you said, and I love really championing our people and helping them thrive. So hopefully that gives people the excitement and energy moving forward that people are your greatest asset.
Appreciate all the contact info, and all of that will be provided in the show notes once we promote this episode. So for all of you that enjoyed this episode as much as Danny and I enjoyed making it, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you like to leave ratings about things. Could be on iTunes, could be on Google reviews, wherever. We would appreciate it. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast and you came here because you're already a super fan of Danny and you just wanted to hear another thing that he had to say because you just think that he's a great guy, or you came here because you thought that this topic was compelling, but now you're hungry for more, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other major podcast player. And last but not least, all you people and HR leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.